This is VOA News. I'm Jim Bertel. Iran and the United States are trading threats following the death of Iran's top general. Reuters' Julian Satterwhite reports.
Thousands gathered Sunday morning in southern Iran for the funeral of the general killed in a U.S. drone strike. Mourners wept as a truck carried Qasem Soleimani's body through the streets of Ahvaz. Feelings were running high in the capital too. In Tehran, lawmakers chanted death to America in a session to discuss the killing. Now world capitals wait anxiously to see how Iran will respond. Many have called on both sides to calm the rhetoric. But Donald Trump doesn't appear to be listening. In a series of tweets, the US president vowed to hit 52 sites if Iran retaliates. He says the number represents the 52 Americans held hostage at the US embassy in Tehran in 1979. The question is whether Iran will heed the warning.
That is Reuters' Julian Satterthwaite reporting. Cybersecurity experts say with Iran vowing revenge, a cyber attack is a non-military way to get back at the U.S. AP's Julie Walker reports.
From cyber attacks on our U.S. banks and other financial institutions to our infrastructure, Iran has done it before and will do it again, says cybersecurity expert Sandra Joyce of FireEye.
They need to attempt to create some symbolic or meaningful action as the revenge that they've been talking about, but it really needs to land short of provoking this full military response by the U.S.
She also says they may attack our elections with disinformation campaigns as they've done in the past.
In some cases, we have seen them actually impersonate political candidates.
Joyce says they can use those cyber attacks to grow anti-American sentiment. I'm Julie Walker.
And from Washington, this is VOA News. Iraq's parliament has passed a resolution calling for foreign troops to leave the country. This comes in the wake of a U.S. airstrike that killed Iran's top military commander near Baghdad's airport last week. The resolution calls on the government to work to end the presence of any foreign troops on Iraqi soil and prohibit them from using its land, airspace, or water for any reason. Australia continues to battle wildfires that have scorched millions of hectares across the three states. Cooler temperatures and lighter winds Sunday brought little relief from the fires that firefighters have battled for weeks. Reuters' Adam Reid has more.
Finally, some respite for residents in southern parts of Australia, as cooler temperatures and some much-needed rain mean an easing for now from the devastating bushfires that have raged throughout the region. Evacuations are continuing as thick smoke still hangs in the air. In the town of Eden in New South Wales, residents hung on to what belongings they could and waited for buses and boats to take them to safety. Similar scenes in other small towns across the state saw residents wait for news of what remains of their homes and businesses. Initial estimates put damaged or destroyed properties in the hundreds, but authorities said that the mass evacuations by residents of at-risk areas appear to have prevented major loss of life.
That is Reuters' Adam Reid reporting. Somali militant group Al-Shabaab says it attacked a military base used by U.S. and Kenyan military teams Sunday. The U.S. military's Africa Command says initial reports reflect damage to equipment and infrastructure, and the situation remains tense. In a statement, Al-Shabaab said it had taken control of part of the camp and it had inflicted casualties in the attack. Kenyan Defense Forces also said in a statement they fought off the attackers and four militants were killed. Scuffles erupted between police and protesters in Hong Kong on Sunday, with dozens of arrests made. Lam Chuk Ting organized today's march.
I don't think any changes for the head of the liaison office of Hong Kong may change the policy of Beijing towards Hong Kong. But we Hong Kong people urge the international community keep supporting us, keep supporting our democratic movement.
Organizers estimated 10,000 people took part in the march, while police estimated a crowd of 2,500 at its peak. Officials say at least 24 people were killed and 23 injured after a building in Cambodia collapsed, trapping workers under rubble. The seven-story concrete building collapsed on Friday in the coastal town of Kep, about 160 kilometers southwest of the capital, Phnom Penh. For more on any of today's stories, please visit us at voanews.com. I'm Jim Bertel, VOA News.